coolest. No, you're the coolest. No, you're the coolest. Okay, I'm the coolest.
Good afternoon. I am Pastor Floyd Hughes from Crossroads Community Church of Jefferson Hills. And with me, as always, is
Pastor Mark Berkshire with Meadow Run Community Church in Ohio, PAL.
And we're going to take a pause. It's sad to say this, but we're going to take a pause in our political discussion just to talk about something else that has captured the attention of Christians and wannabe Christians, sad to say that as well. But we're going to talk about the eclipse that people are claiming is a sign, and we're going to share some biblical insights on it. And before we do that, though, instead of what are we preaching on, because we're both obviously Resurrection Sunday, Easter's coming up, we're both going to talk about, in some aspect, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But here's two questions. Is there a specific content that you're going to share? And are you doing more than one thing? I know a lot of people have Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, sunrise service, and then their regular Sunday celebrations or multiple services. So are you doing more than one thing? And what specific content are you going to share for Easter?
We're only doing Easter celebration, Easter Sunday morning celebration at 10:30. I am going to be looking at John 13 through 21, basically the whole Easter story, and really focusing in on, what some of the apostles may have been feeling, their different attitudes and things, especially Peter, what he was going through, what may have been going through his mind. Seeing, you know, Peter's someone I can relate to because he just was all over the place, you know, and he had times where he was impulsive and other times where he was bullheaded and other times where he just didn't get it at all until all of a sudden it was like, oh, that's what you meant. So I can really relate to Peter. So I'm going to be talking Easter through the eyes of Peter.
And actually, when you told me that, I don't remember if it was last week, 2 weeks ago, whenever we did the last podcast, you might have told me before that. I was like, that's very interesting. And the lawnmower guy is going back and forth. So I have my puppy barking in one ear and the lawnmower in the other ear. I was like, that's very interesting. I was like, wow, maybe I could do something like that. So I'm actually going to share from the eyes of John, not going to dress up like John, but from the eyes of the Apostle John, his journey with Christ from being called to the resurrection and beyond, how the resurrection impacted him, inspired him, because he wrote letters after that.
And same with Peter. So
So gonna do that. We're actually doing we weren't doing before, but our Recovery Coffee and Jesus group for folks in recovery, they meet on Thursday night. They asked if we could do a Monday Thursday celebration, so that's a first for me. So I was doing a lot of research last 2 weeks on how to do that, but still keep it in their interactive thing and not just a church celebration. So we'll do Monday, Thursday. We always do sunrise, and then we have breakfast together, and then we'll do our regular Sunday celebration for Resurrection Sunday, which brings us to this eclipse that's happening. Is it April 8th?
I think so.
I think it's like April 8th, and which is cool. I mean, eclipses have been happening since the universe was formed. That's kind of the way the universe works. God put it in motion. But there was a document that came out, and I'm going to come back to you in a minute because you found that some of the information in that document was false, where it talked about there were this eclipse is special because there's been, the last three, and they've crossed over certain numbers of cities with biblical names, Nineveh, and then I forget the other cities with biblical names.
Salem.
Salem, yeah, which was the original name of Jerusalem, City of Peace. So, and they had all this information and they were like, it's a sign and whatever. And I even had some people in my congregation who shared that on their social media pages. And they were even like, I don't know if this is true, but I just know people need to repent, which I can agree. People need to repent. But I can say a lot of that stuff is not true. It's not true. And they referred back to Jonah and the eclipse that happened. Here's where they got that wrong. The eclipse did not happen as Jonah entered the city. The eclipse happened way before. I think it was within a year or two before, which was one of the reasons when Jonah entered the city and said, repent, God said, repent. They took it seriously because that and several other things that they deemed supernatural happened leading up to before Jonah came into the city. But Jesus said the sign of Jonah isn't going to be an eclipse. He said it's going to be my death, burial, and resurrection. That's the sign. And the fact that this eclipse is coming right around Easter, even though it's going to be 8 days, if it's April, like 8 days after, should be, I mean, that not a supernatural sign, but wow, okay. Maybe I do need to get right with the Lord. But laying all of these other things, I mean, if we're looking for a sign, God coming down in the flesh, being born of a virgin, living his life, and then witnesses attesting to that he was beaten, crucified, died, and then witnesses attesting to he rose from the dead. That should be all the sign you need to repent. If the son grew a mouth and said, hey, you need to repent, I mean, that's something okay we can listen to. But the fact that an eclipse happened, something that's been happening for since the dawn of man, that's not the sign we need. Like, oh, God is doing something. God has been doing something after this eclipse is done. God will continue to be doing something. And his people need to look to his word, not to the sky, for our sign that God wants his people to repent. But you were saying that some of that information in that document is not even correct.
Right. The document I saw said that this eclipse on April 8th is going to pass over the seven cities of Nineveh in the United States. There's actually eight cities of Nineveh in the United States and one or two in Canada. And the truth is, this eclipse is only going to go across two of the cities, not all of the cities. And the other thing that I found strange was they said there that this eclipse somehow forms an X because it crosses over the last eclipse and this eclipse, so it makes an X over the United States, which means the end of the United States as we know it. And my first thought when I heard that was, I'm sorry, an eclipse isn't going to be the end of the United States as we know it. It's going to be all of the other stuff that's going on politically and everything else.
I was just making a note that it's not an eclipse that's going to end us. It's the stupid stuff that we're doing in our own nation that's going to end us. Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting, but the biggest thing is, and then someone said someone who has a lot more time on their hands than I have figured out that this is the 6,666th eclipse ever that we've gone through, which brings us to the 666 of Revelation. I don't know where they're getting their information. I don't know why they would even think this. I mean, if you look at things biblically, there was a big eclipse on the day Jesus died, on Good Friday,
yeah,
it said that the sky went black when he took his last breath. That was a eclipse. There are biblical places where we see eclipses in the Bible, but as far as, you know, pointing it down and saying this is going to be it, this is it. Number one, the Bible says we don't know the day, the hour, or the time of Christ's return. So if we're saying April 8th with this eclipse that we need to repent and get ready for God because it's coming, I would agree we do need to repent and get ready for God because it's coming, because he is coming, and that's what he tells us to do, is repent and be ready. But it has nothing to do, I don't believe, with the eclipse of April 8th.
So the person that originally posted this said, what do we do with all this information, all this eclipse stuff? And they talk about the world going crazy. And I said, the first piece of information is accepting that God sent his son Jesus to die for our sins. And on the third day, Jesus rose from the grave and conquered death. So they're using this to point people towards the gospel. And I could see that as a good thing. But also, they're talking about, you know, like more end time stuff. And I see that as a bad thing, because over and over and over, and you and I have talked about this before in this podcast, where people have come up and said, hey, look at this thing, it's a sign of Christ's return. Look at this thing, it's a sign of Christ's return. Look at this thing, you know, when COVID came out, we're in the end times. And when they started, you know, injecting people, oh, this is the mark of the beast. And it contributes to misinformation that causes people to look elsewhere other than the Word of God for answers. That's my only concern. I go ahead.
And I was just going to say, I agree with that 100%. And I think that ties into another sign of the end of the age, where, you know, we are going to be filled with deception. The world will be filled with deception. And this is part of it. We think of deception as being, oh, there is no God, there is none of this, there is that. No, it could also mean that we are being deceived in believing something that has no biblical roots whatsoever to be there. Could be all good intentions on it, but we could be deceived by that.
So what's the first thing that Christians should do when they wake up one morning and they see, here's this thing happening and people are saying this is some sort of sign from God or whatever?
Go to the Bible, first thing. And if someone says this is a sign from God, first thing I would say, show me. Show me in the Bible where it says that. Verse and chapter. And then read the context around that verse and that chapter to see what Jesus is talking about, or whoever wrote that was talking about, and then say, okay, Lord, show me. I need you to show me through your Holy Spirit what this is talking about.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of people, here's where they miss. They don't go back to the Bible to say, where does it say this? Because even in this and with other things, people will put in a hint of some biblical stuff. Like they said, oh, the sign of Jonah. And they're like, and I think it starts with, didn't the Bible say that God will use signs and wonders and whatever? And that's where going back, one, to the Bible, and two, in context, right? because when God was talking about the signs and the wonders, he was talking about specifically for the end times. Not like, hey, when you see an eclipse, you know, that's a sign. But I think that people, one, don't go back to the Bible. Two, because they don't, and I'm going to hammer this, I don't think this is the pulpit's blame. I think this is the people's blame, because fewer and fewer people are, not only are they not reading their Bible, they're not going to Sunday celebrations. They're not hearing good biblical teaching, teaching that teaches from Old Testament, New Testament, talks about the end times, talks about sin, talks about repentance, talks about what God wants from us, because they're not hearing good biblical teaching. They have no clue how to read the Bible. So they see that verse and say, oh, just like Jonah, and they miss the point where Jesus specifically said, the only sign you'll get from Jonah is my death, burial, and resurrection. That's the sign that he referred back to Jonah. He never said, hey, when you see an eclipse, it'll be just like Jonah going over multiple cities, and nothing to do with anything in the Bible. And I think people need to just get back into going to Sunday celebrations.
And I agree wholeheartedly. I think that I believe that more now than ever. And that goes into with prioritizing our lives. You know, people think that Sunday is the only day they have off to do anything with the family or with anything else, because they work 6 days a week, a lot of people, to make ends meet. So something's going to have to take the back seat, and church has taken the back seat to many people. And to an extent, I understand that, but there's also so many celebrations going on. Church services, celebrations, whatever you want to call them, going on Sundays, you can find one that fits into your time schedule. And that's something that I just, I have a hard time with that. But anyways, the other thing I think, when we talk about end time stuff, and we talk about the end of the age, and we talk about the rapture and all of that, we still have a lot of people that get confused by the rapture and the second coming of Christ. A lot of what Matthew was talking about, Matthew 24 and 25, were things leading up to Christ's second coming, not the rapture. So a lot of the signs that are going to happen in those two chapters specifically are going to happen during the tribulation time, the time when the church is going to be gone. So this is something that they need to look out for. However, we do have things that he says in there that applies to us, with the birthing pains and the things that happen, that must happen in order for him to come. So I can see where it can be confusing, but if you're really studying the Word of God and reading the Bible,
Or going to a good Bible teaching church.
or going to a good Bible teaching church, this shouldn't be confusing to us. This should be something that we should all be familiar with. My heart is burdened for those who want to make this bigger than it is. To me, this is nothing more than when I was in elementary school and I had to put glasses on to go outside for recess because the sun was being blocked by the moon.
I can think back to, and I forget when the last one was, 2017, 18, whatever it was. And I was with some friends. We had went to a Comic-Con type event in Ohio, and on the way back, we stopped because the eclipse was going to happen. So we pulled into what turned out to be, I think it was a church parking lot, and they were allowing people to pull up, park. They had big lawn, and watch for free, whereas other places were charging you 10, 15 bucks just to pull in and watch in their spot. And we're like, oh, they're doing it for free. I think the only thing they were charging for is if you wanted glasses, and they were selling water and all that stuff. They had videos you could watch. They had huge telescopes you could look through, all this stuff. and I made an event of it. Not one single mention of this is a sign of the end or whatever. It was just a, hey, this is a natural phenomenon that many people don't get to see in their lifetime. Come see it. And so we did. Not one person, and a majority of the people that were there, probably a few hundred people there, so a lot were not Christians, but many were Christians because many were from that church and from surrounding area churches. Not one discussion about this is the sign of the end times. All the discussions were, look at how awesome our God is.
Yeah.
That he crafted the universe in such a way that all this happens and we get to see it, not as a sign of the end, but as an evidence, piece of evidence of how awesome our God is. That's the way it should be looked at. And it breaks my heart that people take away from that and turn something beautiful that we get to witness that God has created as a part, natural part of the universe, into this is a supernatural sign, which is not the case. It also breaks my heart that after this is over, because this happened with COVID, this happened with all the people that tried to tell me that Prince, whatever his name was the actual Antichrist, because of his coat of arms and because somebody wrote a book saying he's the Antichrist. And now he's, you know, king, but still don't have anything related to the Antichrist occurred. But these people that say these things, it breaks my heart that when they're proven wrong, they won't come back and say, okay, I was wrong. That breaks my heart that they won't do that. It breaks my heart that the people that follow them and believe them, when they see that they're wrong, they won't come back and say, hey, those guys were wrong. I'm not going to follow them anymore. Instead, they just wait for them to come up with their next crazy thing. And that breaks my heart.
I agree. Wonder why this one seems so much more prophetic than the others. I can think of a couple of reasons why people would think that.
Mike, go ahead, share. What is it?
Okay. Number one, I think there's more awareness of the downfall of man and the darkness of society, like the days of Noah, where the lawlessness, the dishonesty, the hatred towards one another because I'm a Republican and you're a Democrat, and that we just can't have that. We can't get along anymore. You know, there's so much of that in the world that we're looking for a savior, just like they were looking for a savior on Palm Sunday, as Jesus rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. We're looking for that savior to come and save this world, bring peace to all of the world, and everything's going to be fine and dandy, and have our bread and our cake and eat it too, and not have to worry about anything. And we're looking for that so much. The world is hurting so much that we're looking for that, but we're failing to realize he has already come. He's already done his part. He's already been victorious over sin. He's already been brought us peace. He's already done all of that. But we have messed up and said, that's not the one we're looking for.
Yeah, I feel like we did the same thing the Israelites did, and criticized, judged, ridiculed, and then ruled out Jesus as a savior. Like you said, we're seeing, I think people are at this nexus where they're oh, I don't want to embrace religion, and especially Christianity, because those Christian folks are crazy. But they're also seeing, like you said, the evilness of the world, the hatred in the world. And like you said, Jesus said, you know, it will be as in the days of Noah. And in the days of Noah, every single heart on the planet was so evil and filled with hatred and violence towards one another till God said, enough. And we're moving, instead of away from that, we're moving closer and closer and closer to that. And yeah, that is causing some people to look for some supernatural thing instead of looking for the thing that Jesus said, you know, my death, burial, and resurrection, that will be the sign. So yeah.
And not to change subjects, but staying on the same subject, there's all kind of conspiracy theories. There has been conspiracy theories since the fall of man. There have been conspiracy theories. I mean, this bridge collapsed down in Baltimore. First thing I heard was this morning when I got up, 24 hours after it happened, is it was done on purpose to mess up our economy even more than it is. Friends, we don't have to mess up our economy more than it is. All we have to do is just keep putting money in when we don't have money to put in. And that's going to mess up the economy.
Yeah, so, our economy is that's a whole other. We're going to do a podcast back on
right.
that on our economy after we do the one on war and after. But yeah,
yeah. But I'm just saying, there's so many conspiracy theories, and this is part of that conspiracy, and it's all done with a purpose. Twofold purpose. One is God's purpose in fulfilling the scriptures. And the other one is Satan's purpose to keep us confused and misinformed and misunderstood about the truth of the scriptures.
Yeah,
does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It's amazing to me that whoever created this original document about the crossing of the, you know, the eclipse and all the eclipses, they put a lot of scripture in there. So they spent time to pull out the Word of God or Google, whichever they did, but they didn't actually dig into the content that they were pulling out. So yeah, a lot of people confused about scripture and not to change the subject, but also, yeah, we do need to be in prayer for all those people who are lost their lives in the tragic. It breaks my heart that, I mean, I know you said this morning, I saw it yesterday when on comments, when people were sharing, this is so tragic, pray for these people, and dispersed throughout comments, not just in my area, but, you know, people from all over the nation were posting about it and showing that video. And in almost every one of those was a comment, wonder if this was done on purpose. How did it happen like this? It had to be. And I'm like, can we just not grieve for the people who lost their lives? And can we just not pray for the first responders who are, you know, going to bear the weight of, oh, we couldn't get to people, or we couldn't find, or this or that. And instead, we immediately go to the conspiracy theories. We've shifted from a nation who grieves for one another to a nation that, what fingers can we point at one another for the cause of this?
Yeah, exactly. And we as Christians, we as true Christians, true Bible believing Christians, should know better. We should know better.
Yeah.
And that's what this whole podcast was founded on, was how do we know better? We know better by getting into the Word of God and responding with faith, not with fear.
Yeah.
And, you know, my thing for anyone who is going, I have a friend who's nuts about this, and it's not Floyd, but I have a friend who's nuts about this eclipse thing, and her and her husband want to go. They traveled 8 hours to go to the last eclipse, and she's all excited about going this time 8 hours to another eclipse. Matter of fact, she rearranged some things around her in her family so that it wouldn't fall on April 8th, so that they could go to this, you know. And it's fine. That's what they're into. But she's going with the right attitude. This has nothing to do with Christ come back. This is God showing up and showing out and saying, look what I can do. And that should draw us to a repentive heart. That should draw us to a heart that is searching more for, okay, God, you can do that much for the universe. How much more are you doing for us who love you and who want a relationship with you that we're not looking at? That's the question we should be asking.
Yeah. We're going to wind this down with prayer in a minute, but before we do, shameless plug. I'm kind of going to put Mark on the spot a little bit. Do you want to talk a little bit about what you're planning and what's coming up in September?
Yeah, sure. And it's not just me planning. It's Floyd planning and a couple other people along with us. September 6th, 7th, and 8th is going to be our very first Men on the Move Men's Conference in Fayette County. But it's not just for Fayette County. It's for any man that wants to come. And we'll get more information out as we go on. We're just in the preliminary stages of getting this all together. But it's going to be Friday night, Saturday all day, Saturday night, and Sunday morning. Men coming together to fellowship with one another, to encourage one another, to share with one another, to pray with one another, and just to see God move in the lives of men. Don't call me sexist. Don't call me anything else. I don't want to hear a lot of emails because I won't answer them. But God has put man in a position of being leaders. Leaders of their family, leaders of their community, leaders of their home. And we do not take that seriously enough. And God has called us to do that. So this is a weekend that will encourage us to step up and step out as men called of God to go on and do what God wants us to do. We will have the keynote speaker is a man by the name of Kim Walls. He's a fantastic speaker, good friend of mine. He's going to lead the services on Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night, Sunday morning. Pastor Travis is going to be there on Saturday morning. He's going to lead a session on what is a godly man. And then we're going to do, at some point in the time during that day, we're going to have a live podcast where we're going to do a pastor question and answer thing with a multiple. We've got several pastors who are going to be there. And then in the afternoon, Pastor Floyd is going to be doing one on how to become a godly man. So we've got a lot of things planned, a lot of fun. Probably took a little more time than I needed to for that, but it is something that I am very excited about, and I think Floyd's very excited about. It's something that I feel is needed in our society today.
Yeah, and like Mark said, we'll have more details, website information, registration information in the future as we get closer and as they become available, so that anyone who's listening and is like, hey, even if I'm not in the immediate area, I'm willing to travel to go check that out on, if not all of the days, one of the days, we'll have all the information available for you.
And we're going to try to live stream it as well. So,
yeah. Okay. All right. So I'm going to ask Mark to pray, and this may sound a bit harsh, but can we pray for all the deluded people out there who are creating these things about these signs and all of this false content? And can we pray for all the deluded people that are falling for it as well? Yes.
Father, as always, we thank you for your mercy, your goodness, your grace towards us. Lord, even when we mess up, you still love us so much, and we thank you for that. We thank you for the opportunity to have to come and to be able to put together a podcast that we can talk to however many people listen, that we can share your word. Father, we do ask that you would be with those that are being misled by not just this event of the eclipse, but by a lot of things that are going on. Lord, we know that we are closer to your return today than we were yesterday. It only makes sense that we're closer every day to your return, and we look forward to your return, and we pray for your return, and we ask that you come quickly.
Yes.
Lord, help us to occupy. Help us to be here and to serve as we wait on you. And I pray for those who are putting the misinformation out, that you would give them insight as to the scriptures they're using, that you would really show them what those scriptures mean, and that those who are hearing this or reading this, that they would have hearts that would be able to discern truth and not just fear that is brought up because of these words. And Lord, we pray for those who were in the tragic accident down in Baltimore. Pray that you be with the families of those who lost their lives in the wee hours of the morning yesterday, that you would be with their families and be with the first responders and those who are dealing with the aftermath of this. And Lord, we do pray that you would somehow, we know you have the ability to do it, but quickly make this port reusable, so that we don't lose a lot of the finances and the economics that are around that. Lord, I don't understand all of that, but you do. And so we pray that you would help that process go smoothly and easily. And be with each and every one this week, Lord, especially, as we celebrate your death, resurrection, and your life, Lord. Help us to realize the significance and the importance of the victory that you won for us at Calvary. May we who have the privilege of sharing that express that in a way that it is simple to understand. And Lord, that people would receive it as the victory that it is, the victory over the grave, death, and sin. We thank you for doing that for us. Even when we don't deserve it, you did it for us. Thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.